Hey, folks, join us on May 16th, Friday night, at IO West on Hollywood Boulevard for Shotgun Story Worthy.
It's an all play, so everybody that comes down can spin that wheel and tell a true one-minute story on the topic they land.
Yeah, and not only that, it's free.
Totally
come on, people.
Free.
And it's happy hour out in the bar. What do you want from us,
what
people?
What do you want from us? Shotgun Story Worthy this Friday night, May 16th at 7 o'clock, IO West in Hollywood.
Hollywood!
This episode of Storyworthy is brought to you by GoDaddy. Don't let someone steal your great idea. Register a domain name now and put your idea online. GoDaddy's offering OneNew or Transfer.com for the low price of $2.95. So whether you're building your dream business or starting a website for fun, visit GoDaddy.com and enter the code STORY295 at checkout. Some limitations apply. See website for details. Don't forget, you guys, visit GoDaddy.com and enter the code STORY295 at checkout, and you are supporting this podcast.
Hi, it's Mark Miller, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
Welcome to the Storyworthy Podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannes Finn.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm here with
Hannes Finn. We're coming to you from Boca Raton, Florida, outside the now defunct offices of the Weekly World News. It's sad.
You know, the fact that the Weekly World News were stationed out of Florida is no surprise.
It's no surprise. No, it was a newspaper that told crazy things, and it came from the craziest state in the union.
Yeah, they would cover the Weekly World News, you guys. As you might recall, it was a black and white, a largely fictional news tabloid, obviously. And they used to, you know, tell outlandish, crazy cover stories that were most often based on supernatural or the paranormal.
Right. But it was totally deadpan.
Totally
not
deadpan.
Like The Onion, you have to be kind of dumb to not understand that The Onion is not real. But the Weekly World News was published to look exactly like the National Enquirer, which would deal with real people.
Right.
And supposed real problems and real things like, hey, this person fell off the wagon. But yeah, Weekly World News had aliens.
The Loch Ness Monster. Bigfoot was on all the time.
He was a big staple of the Weekly
staple,
World News.
A big staple. Pilod, yeah. The alien. Pilod was always coming back. In fact, he had an affair with Hillary Clinton. That's what I heard.
Hey, well, you know what? Maybe that'll get her elected president in a couple of years.
And then, of course, Bat Boy. Bat Boy was huge in the Weekly World News.
Bat Boy was good. He did not bring a bat out to players in a game. He was actually half a bat.
Now, they said they found the Bat Boy, like in West Virginia. That's where they found him alive in a cave.
The second strangest state in the union. Florida.
That's right.
West Virginia.
Here's the thing with the Weekly World News. The former managing editor, Sal Ivan, he used to say, if someone calls me up and says their toaster is talking to them, I don't refer them to professional help. I say, put the toaster on the phone. I mean, this is where we're coming
from.
That's
probably what I would say, yeah.
They would have the devil's face over every natural disaster in the
world.
Yeah,
with some old pier in the clouds or in the water or something. And
exactly. They also talked a lot about Bigfoot, the oncoming depression and apocalypse, newly found lost prophecies. And then, of course,
yes, that was always prophecies.
Right.
That would somehow, yes, Bill Clinton, yeah, a man will have sex in a White House with a fat girl or something.
That
would be like
no,
some biblical thing.
No, that
no, I'm saying they
happened.
Would take like an event and then say there was a specific prophecy for this.
Right. And they did a lot of Bible-related findings, you know, like they'd find relics from Noah's Ark.
Well, the Mormons, their whole religion is based on the fact that Jesus came to America.
Yeah.
It's like we don't really, you know, I'm not going to all get up in a Mormon's face, but their whole thing starts with Jesus came to America.
Right.
When people in Israel didn't know what America was. Or where it was.
Right.
He came and he talked to Indians and left some tablets.
Left some tablets, which I think they found buried in New York.
Like, you can't even prove Vikings came here. But Jesus, I don't want to offend any of our Mormon listeners, of which I can't imagine we really have any.
We might.
It's true.
Yeah, well, we might. Well, here's why we're talking about the Weekly World News, you guys. Mark Miller is on the show tonight. Mark Miller, he's a writer, and he actually worked for the Weekly World News, writing 5 to 10 articles per publication.
Yes.
And he worked for them for 5 years.
Yeah, so he was filling your head with all sorts of information about Jesus. Well, not Jesus so much. It would mostly be the devil. The devil
was very popular.
The devil, aliens, and Osama bin Laden is living in Colorado in the Garden of Eden, apparently. And there was a lot of crosstalk, I think, on a lot of these.
A lot of crosstalk. Another popular story involved a cannibal food critic on the Weekly World in the Weekly World News who rated the people he had eaten based on their nationalities. For example, he would say that he didn't like Mexican or Chinese people because they were too spicy.
I could totally
Germans,
go into
on
that.
The other hand, were fattening and greasy.
Yeah, no, this all sounds perfectly reasonable to me. What was that guy, Ed Anger?
Ed Anger did an article where he was just always yelling at people. He was so angry. I loved everything he did. And then my most favorite part of the Weekly World News was the Page 5 girl, and I just wanted to be her.
Yeah, and the Page 5, I don't remember actually being attracted to any Page 5 girl ever.
Well, that was kind of the funny part, was that the Page 5 girls weren't really that attractive. But I always thought, well, I should be able to do that then.
Yeah, right. That would be a bad rejection, where you send in your picture to be a Page 5 girl in the Weekly World News, they go, no.
Here's another funny thing that they reported on. They would talk about the discoveries from the Titanic ship sinking. Yeah. And they would say that they would find, you know, different objects on board, like puppies, live babies, and the remains of gay lovers still in their embrace.
Oh, I remember that one. Yes, I remember that one.
As if
you died while doing it and then didn't move while the volcano came. It's like, none of this ever made any sense.
No, Titanic. They were on the ship. The gay lovers
were on
Titanic.
I got that.
That's what they said.
Oh, all right. Well, there weren't gay people in 1912. That's what Jesus told me.
Yeah.
It's a very recent phenomenon.
They also did a lot of stories that were just covered by the title Alive. So there would be like a sort of a creature, like a mummy or a prehistoric creature or even a human that had been frozen in a block of ice.
Yes, one time Elvis.
One time they had Elvis, right? Yeah. And then one time they had Santa Claus.
Nice.
They found Santa Claus frozen in a block of ice.
That sounds like a great movie.
Why not, right?
I would totally watch that movie.
And also I remember when they showed how an earthquake happened and they said that the gates and portals to hell were now open and demons have escaped and they're wreaking havoc on the earth.
Nice. And they all work in Florida, oddly enough.
And they all live
in Florida and have been doing making meth and, that would explain Florida.
Now, the Weekly World News stopped in 2004, I believe, or maybe 2006. But now it's still there online. And sometimes the stories that they tell, they get treated like they're legitimate news stories. For instance, in late 2010, they wrote something about how the Los Angeles Police Department intended to purchase 10,000 jetpacks at a total of $1 billion. And then Fox and Friends reported it on the morning news.
Yeah, I know. This is a problem with the proliferation. You heard me.
Proliferation.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, it's like people don't. You know, they're so anxious for content. They hear that or they hear The Onion and they're like, oh, well, this must be true.
They jump on it.
And they just state it.
Twice, the Weekly World News twice reported that the website Facebook would shut down. And people took that completely seriously.
Oh, that I'd believe in a second. Yeah, well, someday Facebook is probably just going to disappear and we will be like, oh, remember when we used to do that?
Well, I don't know about that, Hannes. I mean, Facebook is, it was like Friendster and MySpace. They were never what Facebook is.
I know. But all the, all the kids I work with, they're like, oh, you need to be on Instagram. Facebook is over.
Yeah.
Facebook has been taken over by everyone's parents.
Yeah. Facebook is definitely an older man's game, for sure. But I don't think it's not going
Facebook
away anytime
soon. Facebook is the Chili's restaurant of social media.
Facebook is Chili's. No, I've heard Facebook is to high school as Twitter is to college. That's what I heard.
And Instagram is to postgraduate school and really good weed.
And how about this? In early 1989, the Weekly World News published startling and very real photographs on the front page of executed serial killer Ted Bundy on the autopsy table. You could actually tell it was Ted Bundy. There were electrode burns on his shaved head. And true enough, some guy who worked in the Florida medical examiner's office was arrested and charged with taking and selling the photographs to the Weekly World News. So yeah, there's an instance where they printed a real
that
picture.
Guy they can catch. The guy who shoots, Trayvon Martin, he goes free, but thank God forbid you take a picture of
Florida. Ted Bundy.
Yeah, exactly. They should do a thing because supermarkets were their main thing. They should be on that video that video monitor. Now, if you go to an up-to-date supermarket, there'll be like a video playing of like, you know, the weather and some silly little news story. Like, I can't sit with my own thoughts for the 48 seconds it's going to take for me to wait for the lady in front of me to buy her sanitary napkins and pickles. Okay, that's a bad choice. Okay, that was a bad choice of two things to put together. But
it's true. I remember in gas stations, now you pull up to the gas pump and there's somebody saying, hey, you pumping your gas, like, look at me over here. And it's like, shut the fuck up. I don't want to look at you. I just want to pump my gas.
I know. And I just got out of my car when I had the radio on and I'm going to get back in the car with the radio on. Could I just have a mild respite from electronic voices?
No, you may not.
No.
The Weekly World News, that's what we're talking about tonight, you guys. And Mark Miller is here, so I look forward to that. But before we bring on the storyteller, I did want to mention to you guys that you can support Storyworthy, and it's simple to do that. Tell them how.
It's simple. Why? You could go to the storyworthypodcast.com and you could click on the Amazon ad, and then you go to Amazon, you shop normally, we get a little take.
That helps us a lot.
You could also get yourself a website.
Oh, yeah. GoDaddy is offering this website hosting for
$2.95. $2.95.
For a domain
cheap
name.
Bastard.
Yeah.
All you got to put in the code STORY295. That's it.
That's
we
the
get
promo
a taste.
Code.
That's the promo code, and you get for $2.95.
Yeah, so if you have any ideas out there, you guys, and you want to put it out online, then go to GoDaddy.com and get yourself a domain name for only $2.95. That's amazing.
That is amazing.
Plus, GoDaddy has that new website builder, which is very easy to use. I mean, if I can build a website, anybody can build a website.
It's very simple. It's very nice. It's made for people who are not nerds. And we're not nerds.
No, of course
we're classy
not.
And cool. You
All
know who else
right.
is not a nerd? Mark Miller.
Mark Miller. He's here to talk about the Weekly World News, whose slogan was, nothing but the truth. That was their slogan.
I think it was nothing but the truth? It all depends on how you pronounce it.
That's right. All right, you guys, stay where you are because Mark Miller is on his way here. Next time on Storyworthy, we have actor Johnny Hoops.
I'll be talking about a movie I almost did with Jack Black.
That's next time on Storyworthy.
This is Jennifer Valley, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
And we're back. We have left the offices of the Weekly World News and taken a tram to Universal Studios Orlando.
Oh, no.
Where we're getting a preview of the Harry Potter they're building right now in Hollywood. Ooh, it's exciting. Don't you love the Harry Potter? Here we are.
Honest.
Hello, Governor.
You truly would never go to Universal Studios in Florida. I mean, if you were visiting Florida, there's no way you would go there, right?
I wouldn't go to any theme park unless you paid me.
Yeah.
Literally.
And that's why you work at a theme park, because you, in fact, get paid.
Yes. I mean,
so
there's all these people.
Well.
There's all these people that I work with who are like, they're like, oh, you know, we get discount tickets and we get discounts on the hotels. And it's like, so you want to go to a bigger version of where we work?
Yeah.
And like,
sometimes
it's like I work in a car factory, but I want to go to a bigger car factory and spend my vacation.
And sometimes even if you get free passes and everything's VIP and they put you up in a great hotel, you don't want to be there.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I would be like... Yeah, it's just not my thing. I would want to go to Florida. I would want to go to Miami. I would want to try the Cuban food.
Yeah.
That's my thing. Food is my thing. Where else in Florida do I like to go? Not the Panhandle,
when I was a flight attendant, people always said, oh, you're so lucky, you fly free. And I thought, when I'm done flying, I don't want to go back to the airport.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, they call it a busman's holiday.
A busman's holiday.
That was basically an English term where a busman was a guy who drove a bus driver, mm-hmm. and then on his vacation, his holiday, he would get on a bus that someone else was driving and take him somewhere, and that's why it's called a busman's holiday. And believe me, I say this to people under 25 all the time, and they just stare at me like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. And I say, I'm doing a land office business. They don't know what the hell that means either.
Yeah, I think most people under 25 look at you bewildered.
That's true. That's
true.
I mean,
I'm just saying, because we're old now.
First of all, also, they're like, why are you here?
Yeah.
Wherever I am, I don't belong there.
Well, here's the good news, you guys. We have an incredible storyteller here with us right now.
And this guy belongs here.
All right, you guys, he's here right now. Mark Miller, which, by the way, Hannes, is the name of my first boyfriend. When I was 15, I dated a Mark Miller.
Really? Why do I think everyone in America dated a guy named Mark Miller? There must be you can't swing a dead cat in this country without hitting a guy named Mark Miller.
I also dated a Scott Miller. I just called them the Millers.
Were they brothers?
No, they weren't.
Great, so you could have a threesome then.
That's what
it wouldn't
I'm
be weird.
All right, you guys, Mark Miller, he has sold movie projects to Warner Brothers. He's been a writer-producer on numerous TV sitcom staffs, a humor columnist for the LA Times Syndicate, and he's a current humor blogger for the Huffington Post. Now, for 5 years, he wrote the Onion-style fake news stories for the Weekly World News, which is what we're talking about tonight. And his first book, a collection of his humor essays on dating and romance, is scheduled to be published by Skyhorse Publishing on Valentine's Day, 2015.
Nice.
And the title, Hannes, is 500 Dates, Dispatches from the Front Lines of the Online Dating Wars. And you can find Mark at his website, markmillerhumorist.com, and on Twitter, at markmiller123. Wherever you are, folks, put your hands together for Mark Miller.
Thanks, folks. This is a piece I call I Wrote for Weekly World News and Lived to Tell. U.S. paying space aliens to find and destroy bin Laden. This vital news story was shockingly overlooked by every major newspaper in America except one, Weekly World News, a national tabloid which ended its print version in 2007, though it continues to maintain its online version at weeklyworldnews.com. Those other papers also passed up the opportunity to inform their readership about the White House putting a mafia hit on Michael Moore, the judge who ordered a vasectomy for an oversexed hamster, and the woman who exploded after constantly being told, "You da bomb." I wrote all those stories and hundreds more during the last 5 years of Weekly World News' life as a staple of supermarket checkout counters. When my career as a stand-up comedian and sitcom staff writer started winding down, I took on a number of freelance comedy writing jobs, including writing humor essays for the LA Times, creating comedy material for CBS Radio's Jack FM stations nationwide, and joke writing for Jay Leno, Rodney Dangerfield, Roseanne Barr, Gary Shandling, and Dana Carvey. At one point, I was contributing material to Cracked Magazine, a competitor of Mad. My editor there left to work for Weekly World News and invited me to contribute stories. Before long, I'd have between 5 and 10 stories in each issue, and the Weekly World News work became my primary source of income. Imagine my mother's pride. "France makes hanky-panky mandatory." My son wrote that. The mock news tabloid, available primarily in supermarkets, but also by subscription and on newsstands, first appeared in 1979. Its publisher, American Media, created it as a means to continue using the black-and-white printing press abandoned by its high-profile tabloid, The National Enquirer, when it went to color. When I asked my editor about the publication's readership, he replied, "Half the readers realize the stories are tongue-in-cheek, the other half believe they're all true. You have to write the stories to satisfy both groups." Perhaps to avoid legal action, the paper started running a disclaimer in 2004. The reader should suspend disbelief for the sake of enjoyment. Coincidentally, that's exactly what I tell my romantic partners. Still, I often wondered about half of the readers who apparently considered Weekly World News a legitimate news publication. Did they find papers like the LA Times and the Wall Street Journal too dull, too realistic? Could these folks be the ones who enjoy pork rinds, attend monster truck rallies, elected our president? While most of the supermarket tabloids constantly recycle one another's celebrity gossip and diet plans, Weekly World News went unashamedly for the bizarre, unbelievable, and tasteless. For any creative writer, the gig was a gold mine. Inspiration was everywhere. One day I wondered just exactly how snug is a bug in a rug. Shortly thereafter, I sold Researcher Determined Snugness of Bugs in Rugs to Weekly World News. At the beginning of my involvement with Weekly World News, I was unclear about whether the stories I'd submit should be completely fabricated, actual news stories I'd research, or humorous versions of true stories. Yes, I was as confused as a typical Weekly World News reader. So I asked. The response I received, loud and clear, was completely fabricated. Yet these were to be written as though they were legitimate news stories, complete with an actual city or country dateline, facts to make the story seem believable, and quotes from expert sources, all, of course, completely made up. So when, for example, Bigfoot got married, started an acting career, or became involved with the Kabbalah, it was all covered as actual news stories. Occasionally, the editor would request themed story pitches that would fit one of Weekly World News's holiday issues, such as St. Patrick's Day or Valentine's Day. Or I might be requested to supply big dynamic story ideas that could be suitable for the cover, or stories targeted to college students. Usually, however, the editors were completely open to any wild ideas I'd pitch, as long as they sounded as though they might be true. The ideas were always pitched on spec, with the editor reserving the right to say yes or no to them. If they said yes, that meant I'd proceed to write it up and be paid for it. The stories were almost always used as written, with very little editing requested. As hard as this may be to believe, they were actually many of my pitched ideas Weekly World News did not go for. But being into recycling, I was able to repurpose some of those as cartoon premises or jokes for performers. The other ideas will just have to wait patiently until some new future version of Weekly World News appears on the scene. Weekly World News, or WWN as we called it, the readers of that, will surely mourn the loss of its doctored photos. What can possibly replace the visual impact of those recurring images of Bat Boy, sightings of Elvis, Bigfoot and space aliens, the world's fattest cat, and explorers discovering Noah's Ark, the Garden of Eden, and Jesus's sandals? The photo department had just as much fun with the less spectacular news items. For my story titled, African Tribe Worships Barbara Streisand's Nose, they found, or more likely created in Photoshop, a gigantic stone statue of Streisand's head turned to the side to show off the famed schnoz, and surrounded it with entranced natives in loincloths carrying spears. Now that's entertainment, and vaguely journalism. Well, WWN is gone now, and for that we are all diminished. Okay, maybe just I am diminished. I know my bank account is diminished. Apparently, WWN's bank account was diminished as well. According to American Media Company spokesperson Richard Valvo at the time, due to challenges in the retail and wholesale magazine marketplace that have impacted the newsstand, American Media Incorporated today announced it will close the print version of Weekly World News, effective with the August 27th issue. The company reported a $160 million net loss for 2006 and was struggling with $1 billion of debt and plummeting circulation. It said in an SEC filing that sales of WWN dropped to 83,000 in 2006 from 153,000 in 2004. A progenitor of the fake news journalism that followed it, such as The Onion and The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, Weekly World News has left its imprint on America's pop cultural landscape. Bat Boy the Musical premiered in Los Angeles at Tim Robbins' Actors Gang Theater and has since been produced off-Broadway, in London's West End, at the Edinburgh Festival, and in scores of productions throughout the world. In the 1997 film Men in Black, Tommy Lee Jones' character refers to Weekly World News as the best damn investigative reporting on the planet. During the 1992 presidential election campaign, both George H.W. Bush and Bill Clinton were photographed reading Weekly World News issues that depicted them meeting with Pelod, a space alien the paper later named as Hillary Clinton's lover. Bush got a hearty laugh from the article, and Clinton held his copy up at a campaign stop and joked that it proved his campaign had universal appeal. Weekly World News featured the photos of both candidates reading their publication, for once running pictures that had not been altered. With the paper's demise, one thing certain, waiting in line at the supermarket will never be the same.
Mark, you don't know what a fan I have always been of the Weekly World News.
No.
I've always been such a huge fan, and I remember in the 90s I had a t-shirt, the one where it was President Nixon shaking Elvis's hand.
Oh, yes.
Now, that was true.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that actually happened.
Yeah, so there were...
Not only that, President Nixon presented him with, I believe, like a pair of 45s. Elvis presented a pair of guns to Nixon.
And I think Nixon was deputizing him as like a drug enforcement.
Yeah, that's exactly what that was.
Sometimes the Weekly World News would grab a photo like that.
Right.
That's true.
Yeah.
And then they'd run with it.
It was so bizarre that it fit right in with Weekly World News.
So there were strange but true stories.
Exactly.
Now, do you remember this one? A giant mutant hog monster attacking Georgia. Do you remember that? That was a true story.
Yeah, that sounds true to me.
Took place in the Weekly World News, but it actually happened.
Yeah.
Here's another one. There was an arrest of a man in Tallahassee, Florida, whose pants were actually on fire at the time. Uh-huh. That was in the Weekly World News, but also true.
Uh-huh.
Tell us about the Page Five girls.
If you're referring to the beautiful, gorgeous bombshells that they would... put in, usually aspiring...
Yes, Page Five honeys, it says in Wikipedia. Right,
but they
right.
in fact weren't that beautiful, those girls.
Yeah.
So that was that sort of the joke then?
Well, for people that believed that Elvis sightings and things like that, perhaps...
Also, that would have been a parody of the Page Three girls in British tabloids.
Yeah, yeah.
In British tabloids, they generally have a topless woman on Page Three.
Right.
And you are forced to actually buy the paper so you can open it. To get now, this is but these are not fake newspapers. These are real. They may be biased, but they're real newspapers with naked people in them for no reason. That like every single day, they'll be like Margaret Thatcher. This and you open it up and there's boobs.
Right.
It's like what the hell?
Right. But the Page Five girls, you wanted to tell them to put it back on.
Yeah,
exactly. I always thought I'd love to be a Page Five girl. Boy, that would be something.
Oh, that's low self-esteem there. I aspire to be a Page Five girl. They're not very attractive.
No, they're not. But we always thought it was just so humorous.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you ever meet Ed Enger?
No.
Now, Ed Enger had a column. Now, was that just one writer, whoever did the Ed Enger stuff?
Yes.
And
yes.
Do you know who that person was?
Never knew.
So you never met any of the other writers in the Weekly World News?
I met a couple of the other writers we would get together, but that's it.
But there wasn't like a writer's room or you would all sit together and pitch these ideas. You did it independently.
Independently, emailed it in. And in fact, at one point I was having so many stories in each issue that they told me I couldn't use my actual name because it was looking like I was writing much of the issue.
So what were you?
I had to choose pseudonyms.
And what were the names? What were the pseudonyms?
Oh, boy. One of them was an African one, Abubakar Hassani.
Good one.
I had different.
Well,
different
five things. To
people
ten
can't
articles.
See you, but you could pass so easily for African.
Yeah.
That's what I want people to
five
realize.
Five to ten articles per issue is a lot of articles in one paper.
Yeah, but they were short.
They were short, but they never. You said you would submit them on spec.
Yeah.
And how often did they accept them right off the bat?
You pitched the idea, like a two-sentence idea, and maybe they would go for 3 or 4 out of 10.
Yeah, well, how wouldn't they go for them? I mean, what would be too outrageous or too...
They never explained. Maybe they had done something like it before. Maybe they didn't feel it was wild enough. Any reason.
I remember P-Lod very well, the alien.
Yeah.
And did you ever write for P-Lod?
I never did any P-Lod stories, but I always admired when he was on the cover with Hillary Clinton.
Oh, sure. Now, how about after 9/11 when they showed the devil? Wasn't it like the devil was in the smoke coming out of the building?
Yes, Satan's face was in the smoke.
Satan's face, right.
Yeah.
Did you ever write any of those articles?
No. Satan was a recurring character, and anytime anything bad happened in the world, it was Satan's doing, and he appeared in Weekly World News got his photo.
Right.
Yeah. And then also they did say that they covered the ongoing relationship between Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden, culminating in their marriage.
And I think they even adopted a kid at some point, too.
It says
funny.
Other stories made claims that bin Laden's actually a dwarf and that he cloned Adolf Hitler.
Yeah.
Okay, now let me ask you this. How did you never get into the celebrity news, or did you ever get into celebrity tabloids as well?
I should have brought a list of everything that I did, but I did write some. Are you talking about the actual celebrity tabloids like National Enquirer?
Yeah, sure, those.
Yeah.
I think those, believe it or not, use legitimate reporters, not comedy writers.
Really?
Yeah.
Because see, I would have thought that the Enquirer and those newspapers work sort of the same, where they would pitch an idea.
Yeah.
You know, like something happened with Jessica Simpson or Britney Spears or whatever, and they would pitch the idea, and then the person would say, yeah, let's hear more about them.
Maybe so, and I think they started out more that way, and then they became more
I think what
gossipy.
They do is they start from, here's an actual thing that happened. Now, it's all the, you know, people say this might also, it's like where they go off into, they leave journalism behind when they go off into speculation, but they start with actual events.
Right. Right. Yeah. Now, the Weekly World News still is online, like you said.
Not involved anymore. I pitched myself, but I guess they went with a new staff. And it seemed like even the I was with them for 5 years, and there was like five different editors during that time. So it was often replaced. Some of them would want sexier, more X-rated stuff, and some of them would want to keep it clean, and it just went with the wind.
Right. Oh, my gosh. And they always kept the paper black and white. I remember that very well as well.
Yeah, because you said that they were literally, they were just had a piece of machinery, a black and white printer, and they're like, right. We need to, I mean, I love that. I love the idea that the newspaper exists because you have a printer. Well, we need to print something in black and white. Okay, great. You know, that's like, well, I have a hole. I should put something in it.
Right.
I don't know. How about my shoes? Something. It's like something has to go.
Now, Bat Boy, that whole character, Bat Boy, he was first featured in 1992 after being found in a cave in West Virginia, the Lost World Caverns. And Bat Boy has since led police on a high-speed chase. He's fought in the War on Terror, led the troops to capture Saddam Hussein, bitten Santa Claus, and traveled into outer space. That's all Bat Boy.
Right. And if you look at the photos of him, the supposed photos of him in quotes, it's really bad special effects, like a really low budget movie thing.
Right.
Here it is right here.
Right,
yes.
Of course. Yeah. We're looking at a picture of Bat Boy. I mean, it's an iconic
image. Looks like Ed Wood. It's that kind of thing. Now, what's the most famous, like, what would you say was your most successful? Like, what did you come up with something that you kept writing stories about?
Well, the African tribe worships
Barbara Streisand's nose.
That was a series. I did African tribe worships Salma Hayek's breasts. there was a couple of those.
Yeah.
The one of mine that made it to the cover, I remember, was Pope chooses Mel Gibson as his successor. It was when Mel Gibson was being all religious.
Yeah. Right.
He always is.
Yeah.
So
right. Oh, fantastic.
That was a cover. They photoshopped the photo blessing the Pope, blessing Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
It's so funny how I was such a huge fan of the Weekly World News. I mean, I bought it every week. To think that fast forward 20 years, I would be talking with one of the writers from the Weekly World News.
Yeah.
I'm very impressed.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
And Mark, you've written on so many projects, and you continue to just consistently work and write. Tell us, what is your writing regimen like?
I know a lot of people consider it like taking blood from themselves to write, and it's painful. But to me, it's like playing in the sandbox, so I love it. I get up and write all the time. It's my default activity.
Wow.
So it's,
yeah, a lot of writers are like the... You know, they was this famous quote from somebody, and that's a great when you quote somebody and you don't know who they are. But it's like they enjoy having written,
right.
Not writing, but
right.
They enjoy having written something. But you're saying you actually enjoy writing.
I like the actual process.
And I mean, some people have different writing tricks. Like some people will keep their head on the keyboard and not look at the page, not worry about punctuation or spelling, and they just rip it out. And then they go back and, you know, through edits, they cut it down. Do you have a process like that?
I do that as I go along, and procrastination is big for me. I've written about being a procrastinator constantly, and finally I've accepted that as part of the writing process. I write for a while, get up, walk around, do other things, come back more refreshed. You take little oasis breaks.
Do you write even if you are not working on a certain project?
Yes, because very fertile imagination, and there's always future projects. I have, 10 different things going, and I love to come up with new things, cartoon ideas, and anything at all.
I have been mentoring this little group at my daughter's school. I have 7 third graders, and they're all little girls. They're all 9 years old. And first I had them decorate their notebooks, and then I give them these writing exercises. And this little girl, she won't write anything down because she doesn't want to be there anyway.
Right.
So then I say to her.
I like her.
I say to her, Ava, just write, I don't want to be here. Just write that on the page. And then she writes that down, and then I commend her, and I say, look at that. You wrote something. Okay, now that's the beginning. I don't want to be here. Now, let's think of a middle, and then we'll think of an end. And then all of a sudden, she starts getting angrier, but at least she's putting it on the page.
Yeah, that's good.
And so that's the writing, isn't it?
Yeah. Maybe she'd want to draw a picture, too, and you could have her do a caption for it, like a cartoon.
Yes, she's very big on pictures. In fact, just yesterday in the class, I had them all draw a stick figure and then put injuries and problems on the stick figure and then write about how they got those injuries.
Great.
Thanks,
Mark. That just seems, okay.
Well, no, but I'm trying to.
It just seems demented
but I'm
somehow.
I'm talking to 9-year-olds, and how do you get them excited? You know what I mean? Or how do you get them motivated?
Yeah, if they have lesions or pus or something. Yeah, I see.
Then they can say, then they write their story. How did that stick figure break its leg? Do you have any writing inspiration for people out there who feel like they're blocked?
Well, first for her, the other thing you could do is share something from your life where you didn't want to be there. Mm. And then she would relate to that.
Yeah.
If you're blocked, I'd say exercise. Go take a walk. Go out into the world. Do something you enjoy. Have a snack.
But you don't have to have in your mind what you're going to write. You just got to start writing. Is that true?
I think, yeah, just start writing. And even if it's something bad, you can come back to it and revise it later.
It'll come back.
Yes.
You hope so.
Yeah.
Or it'll turn into something.
I think so.
All right. So here we go. What's the advice you have to aspiring writers who want to make a go of writing and working in Los Angeles? What do you say?
Be okay with rejection, because most people have lots of it. So you
What is this rejection you speak of?
Don't take it personally.
I reject your rejection advice.
Consider it part of the process. Don't put all your eggs into one writing basket project. Have a number of different things going on. And make sure it's something you truly enjoy. If you don't enjoy it, if it's painful, do something else. You don't have to write.
Do you find it's hard? Do you find it's hard to write dialogue?
Depending on the characters, if the characters I don't know about, if I was writing a 17th century drama, probably yes.
Oh my gosh! But, if somebody asked you to write something like that, could you do it?
Yeah, I'd research the character and do a whole character bio so that I know. I knew what they
what
were
to
like
draw upon.
Do, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's a serious writer.
Yeah, that's the kind of organization that.
I didn't say I do it well. I just said I do it.
Yeah, that's good.
How many articles have you written for the Huffington Post?
Hundreds, maybe.
Hundreds.
Maybe 300. It's been over 4 years.
That's unbelievable.
But some of them were reprocessings of articles that I had done for other places that I.
But you never have to tell anybody that. I mean, if you repurpose a story, who needs to know where it came from?
Right. In fact, just edit this out of the final.
I will. No, listen, wait.
The Huffington Post is famous for just reposting things, yeah.
But you've written hundreds of articles for them.
Yes.
Do you get paid for those?
Nobody gets paid for them. Unless, although you get sort of residual pay because potential employers are impressed that you regularly have a presence on the Huffington Post, so you can use it to open other doors. But they only pay a small staff of people, and then everybody else is a contributor that does not get paid.
So Arianna Huffington is making bank.
I would say she can supersize her order at any fast food place.
She is, seriously though, she's getting all free content.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I don't think people realize that. I mean, what do you feel about that?
I think...
You've given away 300 pieces of work.
Not in my case, because generally I've been paid for them already, so I'm repurposing them.
Oh, I see. So I see what you're saying.
And other people need that as a way to get their stuff online. They've never been published before, so this gives them a certain legitimacy.
Oh, I'm very impressed when I see your articles in the Huffington Post. I think they're all really wonderful.
Oh, thanks.
Now, here's one I specifically love. This was an open letter to Art Garfunkel from his ex-girlfriend, Cecilia.
Yes.
Can you recap that story?
Yes. A friend of mine used to date Art Garfunkel.
Her name is Cecilia.
Cecilia. You may be familiar with her from that song, Cecilia,
on
the Bridge Over Troubled Water album.
Yes,
that one.
It was the worst singing voice ever recorded. Okay,
their relationship came to an end. She felt she was treated badly, Art dumped her and left the relationship badly and refused to have further contact with her. So this was an open letter from her pouring out her heart to Art Garfunkel.
That is a tremendous piece, but you wrote it.
Yes.
Yeah, she didn't write it, you wrote it.
Exactly.
So you were writing in her voice, as if Cecilia were writing this letter to Art Garfunkel. And so you start quoting all of these Simon and Garfunkel songs that were obviously about her.
Right.
And then he just left her in the dust.
She's a woman in pain.
And then the last line of that story is I know you're 73 now, and I'm 68. As if, can we please just, wash ourselves of this whole thing and move forward?
Right.
And then she says, but I know you're never going to write to me. You're never going to look into me.
Yes.
And he doesn't.
But she ends up with peace in her heart, wishing him well, referring to him as you curly-haired bastard with the voice of an angel.
That's right. That's what she says. Yeah.
Is he related to Bat Boy? Because he seems...
Yeah, no, just terrific. I really enjoy all of your work, Mark Miller, and nice. I'm very much looking forward to your book coming out, 500 Dates, Dispatches from the Front Lines of the Online Dating Wars. What online sites have you been on? Dating sites.
I was doing four at one time, believe it or not, to accumulate that large number of dates, and they were Match.com, JDate, Plenty of Fish, and OkCupid.
You went on 500 dates.
Over maybe a 13, 14-year period.
Right. You don't pay for all these dates, do you?
Generally, the guy pays.
Oh, my gosh. That's a lot. That's a lot of coffee.
You're the... Wow. You get no money from the Huffington Post. You're paying for coffee and dinner. You're outlaying a lot.
You should start a podcast. That's the kind of kind of money we're making, just like
that. Yeah, I know.
Money out.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Thank you.
No, this is going to be great, though. I look forward to it. Your book is going to be coming out. Did they choose the cover yet? Who gets to choose the cover?
They're working on the cover. It's a publishing house in New York called Skyhorse Publishing. But they requested my input on it, so I was able to give them all sorts of ideas. They did a draft of the cover, and I didn't like it and sent it out to my friends and gave them the feedback, so they're working on a second draft of the cover.
Oh, that's
right,
exciting.
Now.
Wow.
And we got some impressive blurbs from cover blurbs. Jay Leno, Dana Carvey.
Nice. Oh, my gosh, Mark.
Kevin Pollak, Kevin Nealon.
Mark, that's unbelievable. They say blurbs sell books.
Yes.
That's terrific.
I'm excited.
How did you get Jay Leno?
I had to call in favors. Jay Leno saw me do stand-up in San Francisco before I moved down to L.A., and he said, if you've ever come down to L.A., look me up, and I'll help you get on at the clubs. And he did.
What a great guy.
And I did a little writing for him.
I've heard he's a really good person.
He's a really nice
guy. You know
man.
Who you need a blurb from?
Who?
Bat Boy. If you had a blurb from Bat Boy, I really think you might have something. You should pitch that to Skyhorse. It could be the last one.
I just have to find his email address.
Well, he died in the musical, as you know.
Oh.
Yeah, Bat Boy met his demise in Bat Boy the musical.
Oh,
so
dear.
He's gone.
Unless I channel him.
You know what? That I don't believe. That is the... No, I believe Bat Boy will live forever.
I hope he does. Hey, you want to play some Shotgun Storyworthy?
Why not?
All right. Music can only mean one thing. It's time for Shotgun Storyworthy.
The game where our storyteller spins the Storyworthy Wheel of Truth and tells a true one-minute story about the topic it lands on.
So everybody, say it with me.
Spin that wheel!
And the topic is my first orgasm. I was a late bloomer, sexually and romantically. I didn't really date till college, believe it or not. I did go to the prom, but I didn't date till college. So my first orgasm happened in college, and it scared me, frankly. I had not pleasured myself before, believe it or not. It's unbelievable. So it happened with a woman in bed, and when it happened, I was scared and ran to the bathroom to check myself. I thought something was wrong.
Yeah.
It totally freaked me out. I found out I was okay, and I became a big fan of them after that. But the first time was horrible for me.
So you were having sex when it happened with her, or were you just making out with her?
Yeah, sort of making out and having sex with her.
Were you like, was your penis in her vagina?
No.
So, yeah, so this is so interesting. So it kind of just comes out.
Yeah.
Just sort of premature.
I know what it was.
It had been building up for 25 years. Yeah, you know.
How does this not happen when you're 11, 12, 13, and 14?
I have no answer to that. My father had Playboy magazines that I would look at, but I never was introduced to the world of self-pleasuring.
No, it's fascinating. I had no idea that could happen. I thought that you automatically like would have nocturnal wet dreams, or especially boys. Like, I know women have a hard time having orgasms, and some women don't have orgasms until their 20s and 30s and 40s.
Yeah.
But boys, I thought all boys have wet dreams.
I don't remember having had that. Of course, since then.
Is this something you're pitching to us as part of a Weekly World News? Yeah, man that has first orgasm in 20s.
Yeah.
Bat Boy watches horrified.
It's being unusual, I know, but I've made up for it since with the 500 dates, so maybe that's part of my
That's true. That's true. You are making up for lost time.
Most of the time the penis is in the vagina when this happens.
Thank you.
Because otherwise it's called pre-ejaculation. Premature ejaculation.
Yes.
I'm writing this down. Premature.
Exactly.
Wow. No, that's a fascinating story. Wow. I've never heard of that.
I've never told
you. And you have children, right?
I have a 27-year-old son and a 22-year-old daughter.
And your 27-year-old son, do you remember him having the nocturnal dreams at 13, 14, 15?
No, I don't.
Maybe it's runs in the family.
It's in the Miller blood.
We didn't talk about those
things. Well, it may not be in the blood, but it's in some sort of cavity somewhere.
Hey, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thanks, Christine.
We really appreciate it. And you guys, you got to check out Mark Miller, and his work in the Huffington Post is unbelievable. You can find him on Twitter at MarkMiller123. And of course, we're going to look for your book, 500 Dates, Dispatches from the Frontlines of the Online Dating Wars.
On Valentine's Day of 2015.
Woohoo!
Nice.
All right,
thanks,
you
man.
Guys. I want to thank everybody here at Sideshow Network, including Sean Merrick and Roddy Swear Engine. And on behalf of John Thomas Griffith, you know, he's the guy that wrote the theme song, Hannes.
Sure, I'll take your word for it.
And of course, our storyteller tonight, Mark Miller. And on behalf of you, Hannes Finney, my dear friend and co-host, my name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a story-worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.